Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now in the Northern Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, I bill him as the man for all seasons because he is, and he's our buddy. And I saw him sitting up there on the TV yesterday with MLB talking to former Indian Sean Casey. He's Chris Rose. Hello, Chris.
Yes, he Sean Casey evolved, I believe, six career games with the Indians before we had to swap him for Dave Verba, but we talk about that all the time, man.
Yeah, I was chatting with a young fledgling broadcaster yesterday, an up and coming guy, and we're sitting there watching. We're in a bar and we're watching the TVs that are up there. And I said, "Hey, there's our buddy Chris. He's going to be on our show tomorrow." And I said, "And Sean Casey, I called the game where he had his first major league hit on Channel 43."
Nice.
And I said, and now he's retired and doing broadcasting. I've been at this way too long.
Yeah. And Case is the best guy. I mean, if they're, you know,
yeah, good man.
They always, people always say, like on Twitter, boy, I'd love to have a beer with that. Like, Casey is the guy you want to have a beer with. It doesn't matter whether you're a baseball fan, broadcast, it doesn't matter. Like, he's the best because he's great storyteller. He's like part wrestler. You know, he's just super entertaining. He's great. And Jason, hello. How are you?
I'm great, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good.
I was just going to say, Jason's with us. Do you have any Cavs questions you want before we get into talking to you about
a little
football?
Listen, I didn't take my rooting interest elsewhere when LeBron left, even though I am in L.A. It's so funny because when he came out to L.A., everybody's like, oh, you going to go get season tickets to the Lakers? I'm like, no, in case you haven't like known me my entire life, I am a Cleveland sports fan, so I root for the guys that are in the Cavs uniforms.
It's harder to do these days.
Yeah, it is hard, but we still watch. Like my oldest son is a diehard. Like we sit there and we just break it all down, and you know he had somewhere to go last night, so we actually DVR'd the game after the first half and watched the second half. And
how'd you like those unis?
You know, not bad. Not bad. I like the floor better than I like the unis, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I agree.
The floor was kinda cool.
The floor was cool. The uniforms look like a Cheetos bag, but the floor was cool.
Yeah. Actually, my oldest son, Josh, said he felt like he was watching the Edmonton Oilers.
It was
pretty good.
Yeah,
call.
It was a weird morph between the World Be Free Orange Road uniforms,
yeah,
the Mark Price
yep,
Doherty Nance Road uniforms, and then
yeah,
the Danny Ferry, Terrell Brandon swoosh when they opened the queue. It was an odd thing to see last night.
It was like somebody took a marker, an orange marker, and started from the top, and then somebody started with a blue marker at the bottom, and they met kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
That's where they decided to stop coloring.
John Dorsey is going to have his little press conference
yes,
coming up in like 15 minutes or so. And
yeah,
I'm real curious to hear what he has to say because you know he's going to be asked about a win over the Atlanta Falcons. And it went well. They look good. They look like a football team. And you have a coach that's sitting there right now who won that football game. I'm curious to hear what he has to say about the coaching situation.
Yeah, well, he's not going to be honest, nor should he.
Of course not.
He doesn't owe that to anybody. What he owes is to the organization to find the best person for the job. And I think there's very few people that feel that Greg Williams is the right guy for the job. Now, that doesn't mean that I want to tread lightly here because everybody's going to get excited about the big win over Atlanta and the Falcons were playing well. And you're looking at the schedule and you're like, well, we've got two against the Bengals. And by the time we play the Ravens, John Harbaugh is going to have his U-Haul packed up. And, you know, maybe we got a shot that Saturday night in Denver on NFL. You know, like everybody's doing that. And then they're trying to figure out what's the number that Greg Williams has to get to keep his job. And if it's me, there is no number. And I'm sorry about that. I want an offensive coach. I want to get the best coach for Baker Mayfield. And I don't know if Freddie Kitchen's part of that equation. I think he's called two pretty impressive games, especially for a guy who's never done it before. You know, minus the halfback option and a few other things here or there. But I'm looking for an offensive coach. I want to get a guy in there who can get guys in space like they're doing in Kansas City and Los Angeles and in Chicago, because that's what I think we need.
Chris, I agree 100% on Greg. I think Greg can just show you how bad Hugh was, and it doesn't necessarily make – no, I'm serious. It took Hugh 32 games, and he won one.
Well, Jason, can I follow that up real quick?
Yeah.
Look at what Greg Williams has done, and I say the same thing about Larry Drew. We'll get into this later. Tell me one thing where you've thought, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen, which you'd almost see on a game-by-game basis with Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, it took Greg 2 games to win one. It took Hugh 32, and he won one. And I just think that Greg has already – like, they played a clean game. You know, the penalties were down. Turnovers were down.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. The penalties. The number of times – you know, people don't talk about penalties all that much.
The pre-snap penalties. That's what drove me crazy.
Or how many times was it – and this is also on the defensive coaches, though. How many times in a Tampa Bay game or an Oakland game was it 3rd and 12 and there'd be a, you know, holding penalty?
Yep. Automatic.
You know, I mean, that's on the entire coaching staff. You know, if you can't correct that stuff. Now, it has gotten better, and I hope that they you know, I don't know how many more games they're going to win. I mean, I still think it's probably 4. But that also doesn't mean that this can't be a successful season. We feel like for the first time since we've been back that we found a quarterback. We've got a running back. We've got a decent number 2 receiver. We've got a pass rusher. We've got a shutdown corner. We've got some offensive linemen we know we can rely on. So it's not, you know, John Dorsey's building that. So he found his quarterback. The next most important thing is find the coach. And you can't settle just because you get a little energized in the second half of the season. That's not fair to do to the organization.
All right, so let me throw this one at you, though. And I basically agree with what you're saying, Chris. I'm in the same camp on that. But if everything starts to go in the right direction and the players are buying into what Greg's doing and they look much more competent on the football field, do you set things back if you don't bring back that coaching staff?
Not if you don't. No. Then you're not relying on your ability to find the right guy. You're not. I mean, if you had a quarterback, if Deshaun Kizer had played okay the second half of last year, had played okay, and they'd won 3 games, would you have been like, well, I don't really want to turn the clock back? You would have been like, no, there's got to be a better quarterback out there than Deshaun Kizer. I mean, why hasn't Greg Williams gotten another opportunity in a decade to be a head coach?
Well, there is that whole thing in New Orleans.
You know, there's a lot of letters on his desk, guys.
Right.
A lot of letters. Where he could have just walked in. And listen, I like the enthusiasm he brings. You know, his defenses are known to be very complex, and that's why if one guy screws up, they're going to get gashed, and they've given up the most big plays in the NFL and that sort of stuff. And it's why they also lead the league in turnovers, because they have been super aggressive and all that sort of stuff, and that's working, and I'm not dismissing that. All I'm saying is we shouldn't be lured into the settle option. That's not what we want to be about. How many interim guys in the last 30 years in the NFL have gone on to be successful full-time head coaches?
I don't think he was interim, but Marty Schottenheimer here took over for Sam midseason.
Okay. Well, now you're talking about 1984.
Yeah, I know. That's a long time ago, Chris. You're right.
Okay, the only other guys I can think of are Jeff Fisher, who took over the Oilers/Titans, okay, and got them 1 yard away from winning the Super Bowl, or at least tying it. And you could call Jason Garrett-ish successful, right? With a couple of playoff appearances.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So there's not a great track record for it. And let's not be the victims of our own failures here over the years. We can't get a little taste of success and feel like that's good enough, because that's not fair.
That's well said. Chris, thank you, sir.
That's it. Dorsey's coming up. I'm getting kicked off for a guy in a sweatshirt and khaki.
I was going to keep going, except the guy, the Packer fan Dan over here says, hey, we're going to go to the guy
Chris,
in the sweatshirt.
If you're not doing this show in sweatpants and a sweatshirt, I feel disappointed.
Well, actually, you know, it's not even 8 o'clock out here in Los Angeles, so you guys are lucky you get that much.
I'm surprised you're always up and at them when we talk to you, so there you go.
Listen, dude, 6:02 every morning, I got to get the younger guy up so he can catch the bus and go to school.
What a dad.
This is how we roll out here.
What
man.
A dad.
Yeah, this is how we do it. We're a team. It's not dad, it's mom and dad. It's Team Rose out here.
That's really nice. I'll be looking.
Mom wasn't even here to hear that. God,
I know.
That really got me some good
send her a text. Let her know.
She's already off to her Pilates. She's gone.
I'll be looking up at the screen and watching you today.
Oh well, don't bother to listen. It's nothing meaningful that's said during
that's
that.
That's kind of what
Jason,
I thought.
Jason, it was a pleasure getting to know you.
Yeah, you too. Let's do this again.
Guys, tell Baskins to feel better. Stop by Corky and Lenny's, get him some soup, and. Tell them to not be a wuss and show up to work tomorrow.
There it is. Chris Rose, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Chris joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.